Well, federal parliament has risen for the Easter break, but there's still plenty going on in the world of politics. It's been a fairly difficult week for Labor, particularly on the issue of deportation and asylum seekers. But the focus is now turning towards economics. Michael Packey, our national political editor, has been covering it all. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Clinton.
There is now a break up until May, and the reason for that break is they're all preparing the budget.
Yeah, look, that's right. The budget will be delivered in mid-May. So over the next 6 weeks, you've got a lot of the politicians back in their electorates. And no doubt Anthony Albanese will be touring around the country, probably selling various budget measures, I think. And we started seeing that on Thursday. He was in the New South Wales Hunter region where he was talking about solar panels and manufacturing solar panels in Australia. Of course, Australia is one of the few countries that does use solar panels at a very high rate. I think we're one of the biggest users of solar panels on roofs, but we import them from China. So Anthony Albanese is saying, well, more support needs to be given to manufacturers in Australia to produce these solar panels, and Australians should be able to buy affordable solar panels made in Australia rather than imported from overseas. But I noticed that the opposition, when it had to respond to this issue, they don't really think that this local push would actually work, because they're saying that if you had to produce a solar panel in Australia, it would cost you that much more that it could potentially make it uneconomical for people to buy and install on their roofs. So it'll be interesting to see the way stuff like this does pan out. But the PM, he is going to be spending the next six weeks, I should say, essentially crisscrossing the country, talking about manufacturing and creating the jobs of the future. And I think a lot of it is going to centre around renewable energy projects and probably defence manufacturing.
You do wonder with these government manufacturing announcements, when either side of politics makes a local manufacturing announcement, whether it's just for the headline, whether economically it's ever going to stack up. And look, I'm so disappointed that we've lost so much manufacturing, don't get me wrong. Mm. But in New South Wales, the Labor Party went to the last election with this policy of we're bringing back the manufacturing of trains, buses, ferries. What did they do last week? They announced they're suddenly buying 60 new buses from China. And why? Well, they say they need them quickly. And
that's right.
The fact is, China can do it a lot faster than Australia can.
And probably a lot cheaper.
Yes.
And that's the reality of it as well. And I do think you're right. I do think that a lot of these announcements that are made are more for headline-grabbing purposes. Look, there's no doubt that some of these grants and subsidies that are offered will flow through to some manufacturers. But, you know, how fast will they be able to develop a product and get it to market at a price that, you know, people can afford and, you know, and would buy? I think that that's probably the real question for the government, that these things probably take a long time. You can, you know, make this headline announcement that you're going to be pouring in $1 billion into the solar industry. But, you know, really, you know, how much of that $1 billion are these companies really going to see to develop a product? And when are we really going to see it come to market at scale? You know, because at the moment, everyone does buy the imported products because they can be produced at scale for a lot cheaper price. So I'll be interested to see some of the announcements that are made over the next 6 weeks and how much money is spent, because a lot of it, I will almost guarantee you, Clinton, is not new money. It's money that's already been stashed in the budget over the past years, which is now being shelled out.
They'll certainly want plenty of positive headlines out of this budget, because it is a budget that's going to head into effectively a year of election campaigning, even if there might be a mini budget along the way. We spoke a little earlier to Terry Barnes about the issues that Labor has been confronted with in Parliament over deportation. They've been in a hell of a mess this week, haven't they? And it creates this perception. Yes, they wanted to get tough, but it creates this perception that they're not in control.
Yeah, absolutely right. They essentially botched the policy that they brought forward. They thought that this policy on deportation was going to get the green tick from the opposition. They didn't think that the opposition would stand in the way. And of course, the opposition has said, well, you know, you're rushing this policy. And the fact that you're rushing this policy actually, you know, is a concern. And essentially what Labor wants to do, they're saying that if you're an asylum seeker that's in Australia and you've exhausted all your visa options, in other words, you're deemed not to be a genuine refugee, well, then you should be deported. And if you start fighting that deportation, well, then you'll be jailed for at least 5 years. So that's the issue that has started to creep up and started to come up. And so that's what the legislation that Labor thought that it was going to easily get over the line. But the Liberal Party came out and said this week, well, you know, we don't know exactly who's going to be affected by this legislation. How is this legislation actually going to work? Are there more loopholes in this legislation that are opened?
Which is a fair question. And we'll talk about the High Court in a moment. That's a fair question, Michael, given what happened at the end of last year with the High Court. They're going to want to make sure that there aren't loopholes.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. They do want to make sure that there aren't any loopholes, which then can be exploited by some of these asylum seekers. But I do also think that to a certain extent that the opposition has also decided to take a gamble and suggest that, you know, essentially whatever happens from another High Court decision next month is not really going to affect the government too much. So they decided to put a bit of a roadblock and say that an inquiry, a month-long inquiry, is needed into this legislation before they'll consider passing it in mid-May when Parliament returns.
Which brings us to that other High Court decision. This will happen actually in the next couple of weeks. It's a bloke from Iran. Who knows exactly, you know, the nature of his gender identity. He's bisexual, isn't he? And he believes if he goes back to Iran, he's going to be persecuted.
That's right, exactly. And the case is known as ASF 17. And essentially, he's already lost a case that he's brought forward in the federal court, which is why he's taking things to the High Court. And he's obviously got lawyers that are backing him in. From what I understand, the government doesn't believe that he's a genuine refugee and he should be returned to his country of origin. But as you say, the High Court's already ruled that indefinite detention is unlawful, and we saw the 150 high-risk asylum seekers released into the community. These are convicted murderers, rapists. That happened last year. So that's firmly etched in the government's mind. That decision is firmly etched in the government's mind, and they believe if this case of this Iranian man, if the High Court decides to let him out and let him stay in Australia, it could actually open the floodgates to about another 120, maybe 150 detainees that are in a similar position, and the government would be forced to let them out as well. So that's why they wanted these tighter deportation laws in place before the High Court delivers its verdict on this case. So they have a bit of room to move. If, you know, the High Court decides that this bloke can stay, well, then the government can say, well, the way the laws are structured now, we don't believe he is a genuine refugee and he should be deported. And if he refuses to go back home, well, then we can throw him in jail. And I do think that this is, as I say, this is the risk that the opposition takes, because then if the High Court rules in favour of the Iranian man and Labor is forced to release more asylum seekers into the community, Labor can then blame the Liberals. They can say, well, you know, we wanted this tougher and tighter legislation passed and the opposition put, you know, roadblocks in the way.
Now, the other issue we should touch on before we wrap up, Michael, is the government is now pushing for an increase in the minimum wage. This will be an issue before the Fair Work Commission. Business, of course, as you'd understand, is opposed to that. This is then feeding into retail trade figures. And what I find is amusing slightly about the retail trade figures, there's only been very small growth in retail trade in the shops. And apparently this is being mainly driven by Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's right. And the Bureau of Statistics, who puts out these figures, has essentially said that. So the retail trade numbers grew 0.3% over the last month, and they're saying that a lot of it was driven by the Taylor Swift concerts in Sydney and Melbourne, which there was a lot of spending on dining, accessories, clothing, that sort of thing, and that's what really drove those retail sales figures. They're saying that if those concerts really didn't take place, that potentially retail trade could have gone backwards or very much stagnated. And that's what I think the expectation is over the coming months, that retail trade is starting to struggle. And so that's why you've got the government saying, well, the minimum wage needs to keep up with inflation. Remember, there's already been an increase to the minimum wage. The government is saying there should be another increase to the minimum wage. They won't say by how much, but businesses are saying, well, if the increase is too high, it's going to start sending smaller operators especially to the wall, because there'll be people that just simply can't afford to absorb those extra pay rises. And we also saw over the past week inflation. It remained steady at 3.4%. You got some costs coming down, but housing, rents, insurance, those sorts of things still remain high.
It's funny the impact Taylor Swift's had on the economy, you know, holding up those retail trade figures there. But the longest running, at the moment, the longest running music festival, the Splendour and the Grass Festival, was cancelled suddenly this week. It's held in Byron Bay. And I was doing a bit of work on this with different people. And they think one of the reasons, yes, it's cost of living. Younger people who go to Splendour and the Grass, I went there many years ago, Mike, I haven't been for a long time, but younger people are battling with cost of living. But also, a lot of those younger people went to Taylor Swift. It cost them a lot of money. And because of that, they've had to make a choice. It's the festivals. And there's been festivals in Melbourne and other states as well that have been cancelled. Because of Taylor Swift, they're not going to the festivals.
Absolutely. And that's a very good point that you're making as well there, that people, because of cost of living, you know, that disposable income, they've got to think about it twice as to how they spend it. And a lot of people did decide to spend their money on the Taylor Swift concert, especially if they came, like, in, let's say people that decided to travel from Brisbane or from South Australia that decided to travel Melbourne or Sydney for those concerts.
Plenty of people did.
You know, so all of that, you know, adds to the costs. And so for a lot of people, they, you know, they decide to say, well, we'll watch the Taylor Swift concert, but we won't go and see, you know, Splendour in the Grass or whatever the case may be, and of which apparently Kylie Minogue was meant to be a headline act at Splendour. Because, you know, you've got the costs of going to Byron Bay, the accommodation over there and all the rest of it. So people are making those sorts of choices.
It's the same with the Falls Festival, the Groovin' in the Move Festival. And look, these may be events that our listeners may not be attending, but it's an example that when it comes to cost of living pressure, it is starting to bite, and that's all going to feed into the decisions the Reserve Bank will make in the coming months as well. Always good to talk to you, Michael. We'll catch up soon.
No problems. Good on you, Clinton.
Michael Packie, our National Political Editor.